Welcome to the official podcast of the International Food Blogger Conference. This is session 3 from Saturday, May 16th, 2009. The panel, Building a Better Blog Part 1, Food Porn, Food Photography, and Styling, was moderated by Sherry Wetherell of Foodista. The speakers were Kathy Casey, blogger, chef, and author, and Patty Whitman, professional food stylist. We spoke with a few attendees before the panel to hear what they were looking forward to the most. Stick around afterward to hear some final tips in our one-on-one interview with Patty Whitman.
My name is Ashley Rodriguez, and I write Not Without Salt. I've always been interested in photography, but really have learned to love it through the blog. So I'm interested to hear some tricks of the trade, and more about styling and lighting and things like that. We all know we eat with our eyes, and especially for enjoying food over the internet, that's all we have to eat with.
I'm Chris Duncan, and I'm with Bakery Nouveau, and we're starting a blog to connect more with our customers and more with our neighborhood and community. For the blog, we want it to be more representative of what life is like in the bakery, so it's not, we don't want the polished aspect quite as much. We want to show more about what it's like when people are working or when we're trying new things, and things go right, sometimes when things go wrong. We want to really kind of show how we are when we're working.
So my name's Emily, and I'm actually with Foodzy.com. I'm one of the founders. We also do a lot of photography for our producers, which, you know, they sell specific products, and if they don't know how to take a picture of their cheese or their olive oil, we help them with that. And so if we can continually improve how we take pictures and some of the tips for doing it sort of low budget, you know, making it look appetizing and lighting, food is all about making you hungry.
So I'm Kathy Casey, and I'm not a photographer. I just want to get that out there right away. But I wrote a column for 15 years for the Seattle Times. I have my 9th book out right now, and so I've had a lot of experience with food photography and styling. My name is Patty Whitman, and I'm a professional food stylist. It's how I earn my living.
What is the difference between photos for web and print that you've noticed?
Web is usually lower resolution, and they're often a little bit simpler because you aren't getting this high resolution.
And the photos are usually much smaller than they would be in print.
I see that obviously there's a trend right now with doing macro shots. So do you see a trend, do you see other trends emerging in the way things are styled and how they're shot?
I think things are getting in focus back again, because for a while everybody was going super out of focus, and you would just have like part of the photo that would be in focus, and now it's okay to be in focus again.
And in focus is really good for web, and in focus is good too if you have a book and a newspaper, which, I mean, there's not that many of them anymore, but if a newspaper asks for a photo from your book and they're all blown out blurry, they're not going to run it as much. So always remember, if you are doing a book, to have some shots that are nice and crisp and think, what are my killer shots in this book that I can send in to a magazine or a newspaper? And because newspapers, when they print stuff too, it looks usually kind of not so good. So
yeah, because it just doesn't print as well on newsprint. But that isn't to say that selective focus shots aren't gorgeous, because they are.
Yes.
When they talk about using natural light, they don't mean going out in your backyard and hanging out right where it's the sunniest, because then you'll have shadows that are just so black, and there'll be just tons of contrast, and you won't be able to, like, say you, if we were in natural light, you might not be able to see those little wobbly things on the cupcake wrappers, because it would be just black. You wouldn't be getting detail in the dark, so you'd be getting blown out on the light parts, and it's a little softness helps.
When you're shooting things, a lot of times, whereas at home you might serve something on a beautiful oversized white plate, for food photography you might shrink it down to a way smaller plate. A lot of times we'll use like B&B plates or really small plates, or make things way smaller. Like a garnish, for instance, on say a piece of salmon or something that you'd usually use, and you think, oh, that looks great, that's a nice size. You want to cut that baby by like 4 times, because if you put that thing on there, it looks like this giant, like, whoosh. So always go way, way, way tinier on any kind of garnish. If you're out and about and you see weird things at like a garage sale or at, you know, you know, if you see really interesting surfaces, they can be kind of rare. Start saving those surfaces. Start getting things that you can just keep in your garage or, you know, whatever, so you can pull it out and you have some different things to shoot food on.
I think there's a fine line between overstyling something where it just it looks too placed. So what are your recommendations for, you know, having that nice shot but where it doesn't look too played with?
Well, my thought is you really, really try to be spontaneous. And
yes,
sometimes you see something and it looks pretty good and you try to fix it and you try to fix it too much. So you have to be cognizant of when to hold back. And anything where you see a little bit of sparkle in the liquid, it's fresher and more appetizing.
And you could, I think, just letting it fall. Like you said,
yeah,
just spontaneous.
Trying
like,
to be fluffy.
Like doing all this little bits of things. Mm-hmm. Then, it, you know what, that just usually doesn't work. Just let it go. And remember, like, to always pull up on things. Mm. A lot of people have the tendency, especially in restaurant. I don't know what with restaurant cooks. They're always smashing everything down. I'm like, pull it up. Puff it up. That's my phrase. Puff it up.
Great point.
And tweezers are always good to have. So maybe you just want, at least like on the set, maybe not at home or something, but you just want, and you can just add just a couple little things in there.
Yeah.
Like you look at it, oh my gosh, it needs one little red chili flake right there. That'll just make that piece of cheese pop or something.
I have to say, I'm gonna get into something a little bit right here. One of the most important things about styling food for photography is you're styling for the camera. You're not styling to eat it. Try to emulate the angle that you're going to have the camera at. And I don't know how to say it on the word that is, but it's all about being at the angle.
You know, what are some typical tools that we already have in our kitchens or something that is a must-have?
Tweezers are always good. And Q-tips.
There are certain simple tools like skewers, bamboo skewers, totally invaluable. Like a little atomizer to keep things a little fresher, maybe.
That's
paint brushes. I use these really cheap Sumi paint brushes and
have a whole bunch of little clear glass bowls. So maybe you can get a shot of all those spices
Nice. Lined
up and looking really beautiful.
When I style food, I'll put it on the plate. Sometimes that very first plop is really good. It just looks good. But then others, and sometimes I'll just kind of fluff it. But then if it just still doesn't look good, I'll just pull it off the plate, clean it up, and start over. Because rather than sit and fuss it, it's better sometimes just to try again because it's that random thing that's so appealing. Q-tips, some Windex, you know, for cleaning up. I also have one of those torches, you know, the kind that they sell for creme brulee.
And for cocktails, I like the baby ear sucker thing, the bowl deal. So, and what you use that for is you can, if your cocktail, you want like a couple little bubbles in it maybe, so you just take that and just give a little squeeze. The other trick for doing cocktails is that when you want that beautiful, just a few of those ice shards on the top after you've shaken a cocktail and maybe they've gone away. So instead of making a whole new cocktail, you just shake up some more cocktail and with tons of ice and then strain it out and you'll have a whole bunch of shards. And you can spoon those off and then lay those onto the top of your cocktail.
That's a great tip.
I have a question.
Yes.
How do you keep from getting your own reflection in the silverware? Nine times out of ten, when I look at the shot, there's like a blurry version of me with a black thing in front of my face getting, you know, reflected off the spoon.
They have that spray on stuff.
Yeah, at a photography supply, you could get something called dulling spray. You can put a little piece of, we use a lot of like clay, like
putty.
Sculpey kind of putty. Put a little under the spoon and angle it a different direction away from you. It won't be reflecting you because it's looking at something
silly
else.
Silly putty would work.
And you hide it. But just a tiny angle change can change that completely.
I would say, you know, if you're going to take your own food photos, you should just look at magazines and cut out ones that appeal to you for some reason. And then when you are trying to take a picture of something, you know, look at it and try to figure out what it was that is appealing to you or what it is you like. Try to emulate it.
And get a tripod.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a round of applause for
I think food styling is important for bloggers because taking a photo of food is not the same as just making it and sitting down to eat it. You're making food for the camera to look at. You're not making it to eat. It's a different thing. If you're on a tight budget, I would practice taking photos of food that is not that expensive so that if it gets trashed, you don't feel that bad about it. I wouldn't like sit around and starting on tenderloin, beef tenderloin or salmon. You know, you can make really simple photos out of things that don't cost very much, you know.
And what would you say are the three most important things to remember in food styling?
Patience. Just keep trying. If it doesn't work out the first time, it's no big deal. Don't kill yourself over that. Just practice. And the third thing is just make it look really yummy. That's like the overall yummy.
This is a Porter Novelli production. Be sure to check back for the next IFBC session podcast.